I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Dylan Barnes.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and thejournal.com. Hey there, we're back. Back from Jackson. In one piece.
Almost didn't make it.
Despite what happened the first night.
Shout out to you, Lanier and Pontot.
And I'm still convinced Lanier started it.
Yeah. It's definitely them.
For those who did not hear about it. Yeah, first night of the semifinals in Jackson. A little bit of a tiff in the seats behind us toward the end of the Pontotoc-Lanier boys game. And then after the game, which Lanier won, it became an all-out brawl, basically.
Oh, yeah.
People getting the whole crowd getting pushed up right into press row. So at one point, I've got my hand up against a very tall lady who I was afraid was going to push me into the table and into my laptop. So I'm trying to keep my laptop protected because it's worth more than me. And Dylan smartly jumped the table. I probably would have busted my tail if I tried that.
Yeah, I had to test off the vert. You know, we're missing the NFL, everybody is missing the NFL combine this year. They shut that down for due to COVID reasons and stuff. So, yeah, if you missed the NFL combine, you got to see my long jump and broad jump and stuff like that. So
I'd like to see video of that. I was going to take video of the fight, but it got up on me so fast. I was like, no, I need to try to protect myself and my
computer.
That's
what I was trying to do. And I had a bunch of, like, pretty strong-looking guys right there all pushing and swinging right in front of me. And, like, I thought the only way to get them away from me was to push them. And then I smartly thought, you know, if I push these guys, they're going to think that I'm a part of this, like, you know, and I'm just here. So I was like, I'm not going to push them to get them off of me or away from the laptop. I'm just going to hurl over this table. So that's what I did.
Oh, man. It's just a game, people. But
it was fun. It was full Jackson experience.
Winning Jackson.
I ate at Waffle House earlier that day. The ceiling was leaking, and I mean, the water shortage down there going on at the same time, and then you get the fight. And so
the terrible roads.
Yeah, it was the full Jackson. Yeah, knocked my lineman out, all that stuff. So it was the full Jackson experience, and I guess you can't have it any other way.
Yeah, so there you go. The state tournament is over and done with, and we're going to talk about that some today. We got some baseball and softball to talk about because we've jumped right into that since returning home. Got some coaching news as well. Thanks for tuning in. The Prep Rally comes to you every Wednesday. Not last week, though, because we were too busy with hoops. But normally every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at @djournalpreps. Well, let's recap the state tournament. Dylan, we had five teams come back to Northeast Mississippi with gold balls. So pretty good haul.
Another year.
All told. Yeah. Yeah, not bad at all. Perhaps the most unlikely of champions, Ingomar's girls. I'm not going to lie. Did not expect them to win it this year. And, I mean, let's be honest. Objectively speaking, 1A girls is down this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was kind of down last year, too.
Yeah.
But still, I would not have picked a team this young to have made the kind of run it did and show the kind of poise that it did. And, of course, now we all figured Ingomar would be back at some point because of the young talent they have, and they got plenty of it. And Trent Adair is a great coach, but it was a bit surprising. And they go up against a West Lowndes team that starts five seniors, don't they?
Yeah, all five are seniors.
Yeah, and ended up beating them in the championship on Thursday, 55-51. And, man, you got to feel good about Ingomar's chances of doing this again and again and again.
Yeah, I think that was everybody's big takeaway coming out of Jackson was this is – we all remember the three-peat just a few years ago of that group and that they had at Ingomar. That was just unbelievable, and it feels like this group's fitting probably top three. I think they're going to get more than three.
They
probably.
Very well could. They got the parts, pieces to do it.
And, you know, and you get help with Pine Grove and – historically good teams like that are moving up to 2A and they new site, nobody's dropping down from 2A to 1A or nothing like that. So you're you know, outside of Biggersville girls who made a good run this year, and they've got a lot of young players too coming back, and in Blue Mountain, you know, is probably the other 1A team that's got a lot of young talent. But you know, Ingomar sitting ahead of schedule like you wrote, and I think we're probably just going to be talking about four or five in a row for this group.
Yeah, I mean, you got Macy Pfeiffer. I think it starts with her. I mean, she's an eighth grader, 5'10". Now, like, she's barely 14 years old, but you watch her play, you don't think that's an eighth grader out there. And I think she ended up averaging about 18 points a game this year, and really does a good job.
And put on a show in the post, state championship. 29 points, 13 rebounds in the biggest game of your life as an eighth grader. And like,
right.
You know, and now that that's already out of the way, that's what we're talking about, that experience for them. Like, these girls weren't a part of Garabeth Self and Laura Thompson.
Right.
They weren't a part of those teams. And for them to go down there and play as well, to say that Katie Beth Hall was probably the best shooter in that gym.
She was lights out. Like that semifinal game, she hit 5 in the first half.
Yeah, and I put it in my game story. She combined in the semifinals and the finals 34 points, 10 of 17 shooting from beyond the arc. Like,
and she has no fear.
Like, yeah, just like no conscience at all. Like you know, nobody told her that you're not supposed to be able to shoot well at the big house, and because everybody else struggled with that depth perception, she didn't. She was like the only one that didn't. So
yeah, and she's coming back. She's just a junior.
Yeah.
In fact, they have. I think they only had one senior, and she didn't play much.
Macy Hall. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I believe she got hurt. I remember seeing her in division tournament in a walking boot.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
So like, you know, she was working her way back from injury, and just one of those things. But yeah, this group of. The Johnson sisters, Kaylee and Kylie.
Kaylee Johnson will be back. Kylie, who was hurt first game of the year, she was supposed to be the point guard.
Yeah.
Now, Lindsay Diller did a fine job filling in, but Kylie Johnson at point guard makes them even better.
That's what's even crazy is I think Diller getting this experience this year only helps them the road.
Certainly.
Like the fact that she had to be thrust into that point guard role and probably wasn't ready for it this year.
Right.
And leads the team to the state championship, you know, doing her job and playing her role, which is, you know, Ingemar basketball, but – you know, now next year she gets to come back and have some help back there in the backcourt with her, with Kylie, and as long as she stays healthy and stuff. So, I mean, it's just, I think even weird things like that with Kylie having that unfortunate injury only makes them better. Like,
right.
It's crazy. So,
speaking of that three-peat we mentioned a few minutes ago, you know, the final championship in that three-peat by Ingemar 3 years ago was against New Sites Girls.
Mm-hmm.
New Sites Girls have been trying to get back and win it ever since. You know, for a program with such good history, they only had one state championship coming into this year. But they had Hannah Campbell, Abby Kirkendall, who were both freshmen and played significant minutes on that team that lost to Ingemar in the state championship in 2018. When Ingemar was still in 2A. So they get back to Jackson this year and take care of business, and they beat a very good Calhoun City team, the defending state champs. And it was a really good game. 55-50 was the final score. And, you know, Calhoun City, they've got players like Quay Bailey, Mackenzie Campbell, and Nashira Jennings. And it's just a team that's
– Conley Langford had a really good state tournament. She
Conley
was
Langford,
down there.
Great shooter. And so you've done something. You beat Cal City. That's a very good team. But, hey, Hannah Campbell, like I said, she's a – She remembers that experience very well from 3 years ago. Did not want to have that again. And she had a good game. She had two good games, as I recall, down there in Jackson. So I don't have the box scores in front of me. And
you're much
better at remembering these stats than I am.
I remember the first quarter against Calhoun City, she had 13.
That's right, she
did. And we thought at that moment, if she's going to get loose like that, you know, Newsite may run out of this place against Cal City. And Calhoun City held her scoreless in the second quarter and got back in it.
Right.
And Colin Langford, like we mentioned, was a big part of that too. And so I thought for a minute there in the first quarter when Campbell was getting loose, I said, this got a chance. But you mentioned that state championship game with Ingemar, and they played stall ball, and it was like the most slow, boring game possible. And, you know, they had to do what they had to do to try to win it. But this game was the opposite of stall ball.
Yeah, it was
so fast.
Down. And it was one of the most fun games we watched all week.
Oh, yeah. Like, just the pace never slowed down for four quarters. Like, Calhoun City's always played that way.
Mm-hmm.
And people, you know, you look at Newsite, and Newsite athletically doesn't really match up with what Cal City put on the floor. But they all year long have played that up-tempo, even though they only play like five or six girls. Like, they get them down the floor, and they're well-conditioned and stuff. And so, like, Newsite was very comfortable playing in that fast-paced game, and obviously it paid off, and Ivy Loden was big.
Yeah, she was.
I mean, Campbell's the star of that team, but Ivy Loden, we mentioned it, we talked about it on Twitter and different things, like she is almost like the glue or the energy, the spark plug to that team.
Right.
And she's like 5'4" and the littlest player on the floor.
Point guard,
She just, you know, makes all these little plays. She had three rebounds for the game, but two of them right there in the fourth quarter.
Right at the end.
Rebound, defense rebound, that kind of sealed it to win it. So, big senior group, six seniors, Newsite, and they deserved to go out on top, and they did.
Another team that found some redemption, Belmont's girls. 2 years ago, they lost to Kossuth in the 3A title game when they blew a 13-point lead. A lot of the same girls on the floor last week when these teams met again in the state championship, and this time Belmont came out on top, and that was also a really good game. I mean, it went to overtime, 56-55 Belmont with the win. Kossuth had a shot at the end to win it. And, man, Macy Walker, just when you think you know how good she is, then she goes and plays basically the entire fourth quarter and overtime with four fouls. She picked up her fourth foul 13 seconds into the fourth quarter, never came out. And, you know, when you're playing with four, you've got to be extra careful.
Yeah,
but she still had a huge impact. It didn't, like, take her out of the game.
Yeah, and that refereeing crew actually called a pretty tight game. They were calling little cheap hand checks and stuff like that. So you had to be super careful. I mean, she had two or three fouls that were just, like, little common, like, stuff that –
yeah,
and, you know, other situations may not get called, and she did a fun. She gave up layups at times.
Save
herself, and it was obviously very important for them because she took over, especially in that overtime period. She took over for them. So
yeah, I mean, she ended up with that was 29 points in that game, and she had a chance to win it at the end of regulation. Oh. 2 seconds left on the clock. They're inbounding by their own goal, by Kossuth's goal. They get it, and she kind of curls around. I don't know how she got so open, but she took that ball, and she had a wide-open layup. And I think she dribbled twice and still managed to get the shot off. And I swear to God, 9 times out of 10, she does not miss that.
Yeah, she wouldn't have missed
that. I don't know how she missed it.
Probably at Belmont.
No. I don't think she would have missed that anywhere. But somehow she did, and it happens. Give her credit. She came back in OT and had the big assist.
Yeah,
to Brooklyn Hodum with 22 seconds left. When she was driving the lane, looked like she had another shot.
She had three defenders on her at that point. Like, they all – Kossuth crashed on that. I mean, she's already had 29 points. You had to stop her. And they had, like, three defenders crash at her, and Hodum was just standing down there wide open. You know, so somebody's going to be open when you got three guarding one. So.
Yeah, just dumped it off to the freshman, and she made the shot.
Yep. Only 2 points of the game for her.
That's
but
right.
They were pretty big.
Yeah, they were. And Hodum is – they expect her to be a pretty good player in the future. So that was kind of a cool moment for them. Mm-hmm. I did a column on it, passing the torch. And
Zoe Estrie, too, from Kossuth, just a brief mention of her.
Oh,
she,
yeah.
Unbelievable. Like, double-double, 20 points, like 11 or 12 rebounds, too.
She comes up big in big games.
And she's absolutely one of the best players around here, and I love watching her play. I love watching her compete.
Yeah, me
too. Health-wise with that knee, you know, it's not the best situation in the world.
Right.
But she fights through it, and she'll put ice on it after the game and just go to work. So I really love watching her play, and I think – I mean, Kossuth's in that position because of players like her.
Yeah, and she's got another year.
Yeah, she's going to be heck to deal with in 3A for another year.
She is. Pontotoc's girls also winning in 4A. And, you know, Dylan, before the season, if you asked me who I think wins 4A girls, I'm like, probably Pontotoc. I mean, they're our number one team in the preseason and for most of the season. And with a team that has the likes of Samaya Brooks and Sky Vaughn and Angela Middleton and Michaela Boyd and Allie Beckley and a great bench, I mean, they did exactly what I thought they would do. I didn't get a chance to watch that game much because I think I was writing about another game.
I covered this one.
Yeah, but, Pontotoc in the 4A final beat Choctaw Central 55-52. I was able to kind of watch the end of it. And, you know, Choctaw Central, obviously a very good team. I mean, that semifinal game that they played, some of the best passing I've ever seen in a game, boys or girls. And it was just that's when they beat past Christiane in the Monday semifinal. So what did Pontotoc do to kind of throw them off their game offensively?
Pontotoc had a really two good games down there of defensive basketball. Pontotoc played in semifinals against Moss Point, the last year state runner-up, held them to 4 points in the first half. They were 16-4 at halftime. And I knew at that point, you know, I was like, man, if they're that locked in, that, you know, they've really got a shot against Choctaw Central, who normally shoots the ball really well.
Right.
And
they couldn't hit.
They were
nothing.
3 of 25 in the Pontotoc game. So they really
struggled. From three-point range.
And that's 12%. So that's typically not what Choctaw does. They don't really shoot that poorly ever. But part of it, you know, is Pontotoc too. They were talked to Kyle Hurd after the game, and he was saying, you know, we didn't want them just to let them catch it and shoot it. We wanted it, if they were going to shoot a three, it was going to have to be off the dribble. And a lot of those 25 attempts were off the dribble, like where they were dribbling to the left, dribbling to the right, and having to square back up for the shot instead of just being able to catch it and shoot it. And so that was the biggest thing, I think, was Pontotoc defensively. But Michaela Boyd had a big day shooting threes. She counts. She didn't miss from three for Pontotoc. And Allie Beckley controlled the tempo, being the point guard that she is. She's so good at game management.
Yeah.
And then you know, Choctaw didn't have an answer for Samaya Brooks. They have some big players, some size to match up with Samaya. But Samaya was the best post in the game. And then you add in Angela Middleton, who had 11 rebounds in that game. And it was just kind of like it encapsulated Pontotoc's whole season. They have five or six players. Any of them go for double digits. Sky Vaughn was in double digits, you know, like Samaya was, Michaela Boyd was. You know, they just, at any moment, one player can score, and they're all five going to defend you. And
yeah, they are.
It was just one of those things that you know, these were the two best teams in 4A, and they did both deserve to be there. And Pontotoc, you know, played the best on that day for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So congrats to Kyle Hurd and that bunch. And now, finally, the Biggersville Ingomar boys, the Class 1A final. It had all the drama you could stand.
You think anybody's going to listen to this part of the podcast?
Probably not.
We're probably going to turn it off.
Just skip over it, go straight to baseball. Yeah. So anyway, on the baseball field, no. It was like deja vu, man, for a second there. I mean, you've all probably heard about it by now, but Zach Sugars comes down the floor. And let me think. What was the score at that point, Dylan?
See, it was 46-44.
That's right.
Yeah, 46-44 when Zach made the shot.
Hold on. I've got to double check this. Okay, yeah, Ingomar, Biggersville won 47-46. So it was 46-44 after the shot. That was, yeah, it was a tie game.
Yeah, it was a tie game.
44-44. Sugars knocks down a jump shot. You remember, of course, last year he hit the buzzer beater against Baldwin to win that game. Seems like he's done it again. But now the shot goes through with 3-point-something on the clock. Now, the celebration, the bench empties. The celebrations, you know, happened right in front of you and me, and they're over there yelling at their fans, celebrating, and the buzzer goes off. We think the game's over. But Biggersville, of course, as you would expect them to do, as soon as that ball goes through the net, they're calling timeout. And, you know, I was too distracted by what was happening right in front of me to see who called timeout when and when the officials signaled it. But, you know, I don't think there's really any question that there should have been time on the clock put back on the clock. Now, big question is how much. They put 3 seconds, 3.0. You could probably make an argument that it should have been 2 or 2.5, but I don't think it was off by that much.
Yeah.
And then, really, to me, the bigger controversy is, you know, they had to go the length of the court. So, see, it was the
Dylan Rousey
kid that threw the pass down the floor, threw it too far. But Brooks Brand got on his horse and got to it, jumped up in the air, grabbed it, turned around, threw it back in bounds. Now, looking at replays from different angles and still shots, it looks like maybe his foot touched down out of bounds before he released the ball. But now, and there was an official right on the baseline, other side of the basket. Now, in real time, that's not an easy call,
right?
And it's not, you know, we don't have review in high school. So he throws it in, bounces it off of Tyson Smithy's leg, rolls it right to Cam Smith, picks it up, gets it off just in time, three pointer. Goes through, ball game. It's the number one play on SportsCenter that night,
right?
Which was really cool. And there were some people saying he wasn't behind the line. He was definitely behind the line.
He was behind the line.
I saw multiple angles, and it was, you know, they have three-point lines.
It was confusing a lot of people. Yeah. And, like, you would even see the players all 1 through 6 every game. Everybody was shooting behind the white line.
Right.
And that's the college line.
College,
the new
men's.
College line.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, everybody was shooting behind that because they weren't sure which one they were supposed to be. But the blue line was the only one that mattered for high school.
Yeah, the shortest one. And he was clearly behind that line.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
he wasn't when he first caught it, but he stepped back.
Yeah.
Off when he picked the ball up, he had stepped back behind the line and got it up, and the shot was off in time clearly, and
yes. And
he obviously made it. But
so Ingomar people obviously were not happy. That's understandable.
Yeah,
they were really not happy. I mean, they were really quite angry about it. Jonathan Ashley after the game said some things that I'm sure the could draw him a bit of a fine. Who knows? Yeah. He said the word incompetence, and he said those three officials had been struggling all game, so he's not surprised.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so you hate to see that part of it, but again, from an objective standpoint, entertaining.
I know. Oh, dude, I don't care. It wouldn't have mattered if Sugars would have won it again. That was awesome because from just a viewership standpoint, it was amazing.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
I will say, though, like, you know, we talked about it. We stayed a whole week in a hotel together with that and talked about that nearly all week just because it was so much controversy around it. And in real time, like, there's – no, I just don't feel like there was any way that anybody was going to make that call with Brand if he was out
of bounds. If it's not clear, you got to be sure.
Nobody in the gym thought he was out of bounds. Not like
Nobody even mentioned it till after the game. Well, after the game.
Yeah, I mentioned it to you that I saw another angle from like a news station. I can't remember which one it was that had shot it from over from Biggersville's bench, and it was facing towards Ingemar fans and stuff, and you could see Cam's face as he was shooting it, and like. You couldn't see on that video if Brand was out of bounds. But there was three Ingemar players right there at the baseline. And there was all these Ingemar fans watching Brooks go and chasing it down. And not a soul reacted to his foot touching out of bounds.
No, not that so I saw her.
Like, I slowed it down and looked at every face in the crowd. Nobody's pointing, yelling, he was out of bounds. Nobody did any of that stuff.
Right.
And for 500 people over there to all be have the same eyes on the same thing and say, I didn't see it and didn't react to it initially.
Yeah,
And it took some slow down frame, you know, for you to go back and slow it
down. And even then, you can't really tell.
It was really close.
It's blurry.
I don't know. I just don't know how you expect one official to be like, yep, and it's a big call if you make
it. Yeah, it is.
And so, you know, I don't know. I just don't understand. But it's one of those things. Ingemar knows how balling feels last year outside of, you know, it wasn't really controversy around it, but it's just a stinky way to lose. It's a hard way to lose.
Yeah.
So that's just, it is what it is. But both teams put on an absolute show as all Northeast Mississippi did. So it was amazing.
All right. Well, we're running really long, so we're going to have to kind of, which I kind of figured would happen, especially once we got into the Ingemar and Biggersville stuff.
Exactly.
Real quick, baseball, softball rewind. You had a game Tuesday night, Dylan, over in Boonville at a spring break tournament, Pontotoc and Lewisburg. And
not much to talk about.
Not much to talk about. So, yeah, Lewisburg is good. They're a good 6A school.
Yeah, same division with Tupelo and Minnesota Central. That division's loaded.
And Pontotoc did not exactly throw its ace.
No, they threw some kids. Every kid they threw up there was their first appearance of the year on the mound. And
yeah.
And, you know, Lewisburg hit the ball pretty well, but they had 13 hits. But it was really more Pontotoc couldn't hit against Lewisburg, and Lewisburg didn't throw their best either. But Lewisburg has one guy that's committed to Arkansas, topping out at 97. Another guy committed to Simon Ole Miss, and he's topping out at 94. And another, their catcher's Simon Mississippi State. So Lewisburg's SEC loaded, just like Tupelo and DeSoto Central and stuff. So
yeah.
It was just one of those things. 12-1, you know, Lewisburg out hit them 13-2.
Yeah,
and Pontotoc made 5 errors on top of that. So
yeah.
Good luck trying to beat a team like that and not hit the ball and have 5 errors.
Yeah, definitely. Softball game I was at, also in Boonville last night, had Tishomingo County and Mantachie, and Mantachie coming in ranked 8th. By the Journal. Tishomingo not ranked yet, but they probably will be. And they're now 7-1 after they rallied for a 6-3 win. They were kind of struggling at first to get anything put together, down 3-1. Then in the fifth inning, they put it across 3 runs, helped by a couple of Mantachie errors. Mantachie ended up making 3 errors on the game that led to 4 unearned runs. So that's pretty much the difference in the game right there. Riley Bearden, I thought, pitched pretty well for Tish County. You know, Lindsay Barber had a couple of hits, but she's like one of the best hitters around. Ramsey Montgomery had a couple of hits, I believe. She's also really good. Outside of those two, wasn't a whole lot Mantachie could do with Riley Bearden. She had a lot of those hitters off balance, taking awkward swings. And, you know, after she gave up a few of those early runs, she really settled down and kind of put the clamps on them. So, nice win there for Tish County against Mantachie on Tuesday. Real quick, looking ahead, baseball, we got, I guess you're going to be at this game later this week, Dylan, Corinth and Morville.
Mm-hmm. Two really good 4A teams.
Yes.
Not the same division. Corinth's in Region 1 and Morville's in Region 2. But Corinth lost their first game of the year at TCPS. And they didn't have Will Crawford and Caden Betts and all these guys that were still in basketball playoffs. And they've bounced back 1-5 in a row. And they're 5-1 on the season. And got some good wins over Boonville and Kossuth and Biggersville along the way. So,
yeah.
They've got their whole team back together and should be good. And Morville, J.W. Armstead, Judd Files, they've got a lot of talent over there.
Yeah.
They're 5-2, so
yeah.
They've got some big wins. One of their only losses to New Hope, who's absolutely perennially every year really good in 5A. So
right.
This can be a showdown. Hopefully both teams pitch their guys.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what makes it better, but we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. And then a softball game to look out for will be Boonville against Tupelo. That's going to be at the Boonville spring break tournament later this week. I believe that's Friday. Boonville off to a 3-1 start. Tupelo, a bit of a slow start, 1-3, but I expect they'll they're playing kind of a tough schedule early, so I imagine they'll be okay in the long run. That should be a pretty good game, a couple of ranked teams of ours right there. Now, I got some coaching news. Greg Carter leaving Starkville. That's big coaching news. Going to take the athletics director job at Hattiesburg High School. He's been at Starkville for 19 years. He's won 4 state championships, including back-to-back in 19 and 20. They got back down there this year and lost to Clinton in the state final. Yeah, very good Clinton team. So, you know, he had a had Starkville as a contender every year. Of course, his son Tyson played for him, then went on to play at MSU, which is where Greg played back in the day. And I'm going to talk to Greg later today, so I'll have a story. Should have one in Thursday's paper for y'all to look at. Also, this news has gotten out. We'll have a nice feature story on it. I think Sunday, Lee Smith is going to write this for us. Keith Green retiring as Corinth basketball coach. There's another guy who's had a very good long tenure at one school and is finally hanging it up. So, trying to remember the last championship they won. What was that? 18.
No, they were in the championship.
They were in the championship in 18.
They lost to Raymond that year.
That's right.
Strickland and all them. But I think I can't remember when exactly the last one is that they won. But it seems like Corinth's always been down there and a contender. Hey, I mean, they lost to Itawamba this year by 2, who was in the semifinal. So, Keith Green's always done an outstanding job there. And whoever gets that job is going to love it because you're walking into a good situation with a lot of history.
So. Yeah, real curious who gets both of those jobs, Starkville and Corinth, two good places to be. Still, a shout-out. This week it goes to the area players that are going to be playing in the Mississippi-Alabama game. That's Friday, the All-Star game and All-Star Games in Montgomery. We've mentioned some of these kids already. Hannah Campbell of New Site will be there. Macy Walker of Belmont, Quay Bailey of Calhoun City. And on the boys' side, Colty Young of Starkville and Chase Rose of Oxford playing Friday in Montgomery in the Miss-Al All-Star Basketball Games. Let's close it out with Athletes of the Week. Female Athlete of the Week, hard not to give it to Macy Walker, the senior for Belmont. In the semifinals, she had 31 points, shot 10 of 17 from the field, 3 of 6 from three-point range, 8 of 9 from the line, as a Belmont beat Kemper County 61-29 on Wednesday. And then in Saturday's championship game against Kossuth, 29 points, 10 of 19 shooting, 3 of 9 from behind the arc, 6 of 10 from the line, and that 56-55 OT win. And, of course, she had the assist on the winning bucket there. With 22 seconds left. Male Athlete of the Week and one of the best names out there right now.
All name team.
Bo Rock, junior baseball player for Amory. I just want to say that.
Yeah, say it again.
Bo Rock. Oh. You got to say it like this. Bo Rock.
Dude. I wish my name was Bo Rock.
Sure. Anyway, he's had some pretty good games lately. He was 1-for-2 with 2 RBIs and a 5-1 win over Pine Grove Saturday. Then he took to the mound that day against East Union, allowed just 2 runs on 1 hit, struck out 8 in 4 2/3 innings as Amory won that one 5-2. And then Monday he went 2-for-2 with a double, a home run, 5 RBIs, 3 runs scored, and an 8-7 win against Itawamba AHS. That's that game that the Itawamba kid hit the grand slam late
Cameron
in the game
to put him
ahead, and then Amory came back and won 8-7. So congrats to Bo Rock. We just have to find excuses to say his name on the podcast. Might make him Athlete of the Week every week.
Every week.
Just so I can say Bo Rock.
And if he's not, if he has a bad week, we'll just put him on the shout-out.
Shout-out to Bo Rock for being Bo Rock.
And shout-out to his parents for naming him that.
Yes.
It takes a lot of courage.
Okay. All right, that's all the time we got for this episode of Prep Rally. Thanks for tuning in. Come to you every Wednesday. Find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Follow Dylan on Twitter at DylanBarnesDJ. I'm on there at Brad Locke. And we will see y'all next week. Bo Rock.